Yeah, and the kids, that's right. And Brother James, we are blessed. We really missed you guys. I hope you rested up and have a lot of energy because we got much to do. Amen. Everybody, turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, not to be confused with 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you that nobody in here is going to leave the same way they came in. That we're going to be energized and refreshed and excited to be about your business. Lord God, that this is a church full of people that want you to live your life through us, Lord, each and every day, Lord. We want to be obedient to you. We want to grow in a relationship with you. And we want to do what you would have us do. Thank you for giving us the strength and your will being done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. So 1 Timothy, before I get started, a few of you guys may remember that like 3-4 weeks ago, probably about a month ago, we started a study in 2 Peter. We did one installment. The reviews were so horrible that I just scrapped it. I'm playing. We're going to go back and start that again, but just so much has been going on. But we'll get back to that. And any old hoot and holler, I believe this is a timely message. I believe that this can really bless and encourage each and every one of us. So if you're ready to jump into the Lord's Word, go ahead and say jump. All right, all right. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, a little background here. This is Paul the Apostle writing a letter not to a church specifically. Okay, this is you'll find this in the pastoral epistles. This is where Paul the Apostle is talking to his protege, Timothy, his beloved son in the Lord. He loves him very, very much. Very close, so he's giving him some personal instruction that's going to be a blessing to each and every one of us. Amen? The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. In other words, you can take this to the bank, Tim. Don't forget about this. Use this in your ministry. This is good stuff. This is going to help you. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We can go home right now if you want to, because do y'all want to? Sister Adriana. I mean, you're not going to get any better news than that right there. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Raise your hands if you're a sinner. Yeah, man. We are so blessed. There's nobody blessed like the Christians. There's nobody blessed because we have received that precious gift. Amen. That gift is for everybody, but not everybody's going to accept it. Amen. Now, having said that, let that be something that kind of propels us to be about the Lord's business, right? We have a job to do. We don't just get saved. You know what I mean? The Lord Jesus didn't just die to save our souls. That's the big one. That is awesome. That is huge. And thank the good Lord for that. But the Lord wants to use us. He wants to mature us. He wants us to be a blessing to a lost and dying world. Amen? Okay. Anyways, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, amen, thank you, Jesus, of whom I am the foremost. The Apostle Paul, talking to his spiritual son Timothy, says, Tim, you know what? I don't think there's anybody that's ever been a worster, baddest sinner than I was. And, I mean, he was on up there, man. But you know what? Before we go judging Brother Paul, you know, we've all fallen short. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. If we've broken one of the commandments, we've broken them all. You know what I mean? So we've all fallen short. We all, listen to me, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you want to do that today. Because if you've broken one of God's laws, and you have, I promise you, you have. Okay, let me say it like this. The standard to get into heaven, whether you believe it exists or not, okay, that doesn't change what reality really is, okay? There is a real place of torment, and there is a real place called heaven, right? And we're going to spend our eternity somewhere. I promise you. I promise you that. Okay, now, we've all fallen short. You need to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ today. Don't put it off another day. I lose friends all the time. All the time I'm losing people that I grew up with, people that I love. We had our beloved sister Bobby Jean go to be with the Lord just a couple weeks ago. You know, we don't know how much time we have. I know what Bobby Jean, I know she's having a good day right now. Amen. I know she's having an awesome day. But see, here's the deal, man. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And if you have not made that decision to accept Jesus Christ, don't wait until your life is perfect. Don't wait until you got your bills paid off. Don't wait until you can get along with the cats and dogs and your wife. Listen, that stuff might never happen, okay? We accept a perfect gift. We accept what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. And it's as simple as that, believing on him and confessing it. Amen? So we want to do that. Okay, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul's saying, I'm the worst of the worst. Now, there's a reason why he's saying that, and there's a reason why he feels that way. I don't know about you guys, but I got a past. Matter of fact, I know you guys all have past. We all have past. I've been privy to a lot of the things that you guys used to do. No, I'm playing. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue, but I heard y'all was pretty rotten and rowdy. No, I'm playing. I don't know. But we all got a past, man. We all have things that we wish we wouldn't have done. You know what I mean? We've all broken God's law. Okay, so Paul's making this point. You know what? If I can be saved, anybody can be saved. I was the worst of the worst. So Paul, talking to his protege Timothy, who Timothy is a minister, is like, don't give up, man. Don't give up. When people are bucking and kicking and screaming and acting the fool, man, keep digging in. Keep praying for them. You know, sometimes right before people get saved, they get uglier and uglier and uglier. I don't mean like physically. That's possible, I guess. But what I'm talking about is, you know, when people begin to start being, when they start to feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, man, that flesh man goes crazy, man. That flesh man doesn't want to give in to what the Lord's trying to do in someone's life. So Paul's telling Tim, hey, even though, you know, you might meet some awful, crazy folks out there, man, don't give up on them. You know, keep praying for them. Live that godly life. Amen? Okay, now let's look real fast. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:9. What does Paul feel a little bit about how he was such a rotten fella? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. This is what he said. For I am the least of the apostles. For I am the least of the apostles. So he's talking about, you know, the John, Peter, James, those cats. He's saying, you know what? I didn't run with that crowd. All right. I wasn't saved when they were saved. I'm the least of all those guys. Okay. Now, that's a very humble way to put it, because Paul was used in a mighty, mighty way. Amen? For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle. Paul has not forgot his past. He doesn't let his past dictate who he is today. He doesn't let his... Did you hear what I just said right there? He doesn't let his past ruin what God wants to do in his future, but he's never forgot it, man. He uses it as like a propulsion. I can never think of the right way I want to say that, man. But it like fans that fire. You know what I mean? Man, I have been delivered of so much. Paul has such a good picture of grace. He has a really good understanding of what's been done for him. He's like, I was super rotten, man. I was a bad dude. I was a bad cat, man. You know what? But God has completely changed me. You know what? Why would I not want to serve him? Church, even if we mess up, even if we drop the ball, even if we get into sin, even if we, you know, start doing stupid stuff, okay, you need to come to your senses, right? We need to repent, turn from it, and God's ready to get right back to work with us. Amen? All right, can I get a witness? All right, thank you, Jesus. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul's got that in his background, no matter where he goes. As he goes around spreading the gospel, you know, going around Jerusalem, going to these different places, sending offerings back to Jerusalem. He had a heart for those folks, man, because he wreaked havoc on the early church, man. He was a persecutor of Christians, man. He had a bloodlust for persecuting, locking up, killing Christian folks. Okay, and Jesus Christ died for him, just like he died for you and me. And Jesus Christ used this man in mighty, mighty ways. And Jesus Christ can lose. Jesus Christ can use us. All God's people. Jesus Christ can use us no matter what our past is. I'm talking about something you did last week. Maybe you messed up real bad last week or the week before. You know what? Dust yourself off. Like my good buddy Donnie says, regroup. And Donnie, what do you say to me all the time? Back up and regroup, man. Sometimes we have to back up and regroup. Okay. So anyways, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Are you guys okay? But I received mercy. Well, let me start at 15 again. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, thank you, Jesus, of whom I am the foremost. Paul's like, bad dude, I was a bad cat. Verse 16, but I received mercy. Aren't you glad we got God's mercy on our life? For I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Paul's going back to that point, I was a rotten dude. Okay, y'all got the point. Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. I kind of messed that up. Apostle Paul's making a very good point here. You know, if God can save me and I was a rotten, nasty, dirty scoundrel, man, I killed Christians, man, and I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? God can save me. I am a walking, living example of what God can do in people's lives. You know what I mean? So let's, you know, we're not proud of our past. You know, we've all done some crazy, rotten stuff. You know what I mean? And like I said, maybe it was last week or the week before. Maybe it's stuff we did while we were already Christian folks, man. But don't let that destroy you, because Satan would like for that to destroy you. Satan would like to have you just sitting in the corner, sucking your thumb, waiting for your rapture, waiting for the Lord to set up his kingdom. You know, just I'm chilling out till quitting time. You know what I mean? That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we're supposed to do. But God can take something awful nasty and use it for amazing ways. You know what I mean? To be a blessing and encouragement to a lost and dying world. Can I get a witness? I guess if you had to sum this up, man, don't give up, man. We've all been knuckleheads. Don't give up. God still can use us in mighty, mighty ways, and he's ready to forgive. Can I get a witness? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. Aren't you glad that the Most High God is patient with us? Aren't you glad that he was patient with us before we accepted Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it, man. First of all, he didn't have to die for us, but he did. You know, he loved us before we ever gave him one single thought, before we ever thought that we would need him or we ever cared for him. He loved us first. And that is why we love him now. Because when we were on our way to hell, when we were good at being bad, you know what I mean? He loved us and he was right there waiting for us to come into his loving embrace. Amen. 2 Peter, loving embrace. Isn't that nice? It's like fancy, like a poem. Loving embrace. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Listen to this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Are you waiting on something? Are you waiting for him to come scoop you up? Are you waiting for him to come set up the new Jerusalem? Are you ready to get this thing? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready to see all the sinners fry? Are you like, yes, come quickly, Lord. Yeah, delicious. No, man. That is not how we should be at all. You know what I mean? He's patient. And aren't you glad he was patient for you? Aren't you glad he's patient now? Now, during the interim, you know what I mean? Before he comes back and sets up this kingdom, you know what I'm saying? You know, we need to be about his business, right? So stop feeling bad about what you did last summer. Stop feeling bad or whatever, okay? You're forgiven, or ask Jesus to forgive you. Now let's go forward. Let's get to work. Amen? For the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. But is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, we might have people in our life who are like, I don't really care where you spend your eternity. and we should not feel that way. You know what I mean? Honestly, we should not feel that way. There's some rotten folks around us, I'm sure. But you know what? God's being patient, and he says, okay, get to work. Show them the love of Jesus. Forgive them. Be good to them. Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. We didn't deserve the Lord's forgiveness either. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's beautiful right there. This is Paul also talking to the Corinthian church, not specifically an individual, but a whole church, a whole group of folks. It's like, thank God, you know, thank God for his grace. And do we feel that way? Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy in my life, because without you, you know, I could be murdering Christians. Without you, there's no telling where we would be. Amen? We owe an infinite, how can I say this? We should be awful thankful for what's been done for us. You know what I mean? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul's like, I don't deserve to be an apostle. I don't deserve to be forgiven, man. I've done bad things, man. I've murdered Christians. When I go to churches and I see empty seats, I'm like, oh, yeah. I think I had those people put to death a few years ago. There was probably stuff like that really going on. You know what I mean? Seeing little orphan kids running around as he was preaching. Maybe I had something to do with that. You know? That was something that he constantly had, but he didn't let it destroy him. It just says, God is good, man, because I was the worst of the worst, and God has decided to use me, not only use me, but forgive me. Man, see, we're blessed folks is what I'm trying to say. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. That is super cool right there. I'm going to make this life that has been given to me, I'm going to make it mean something. I'm going to be about the Lord's business. I am. If I fall down, I'm going to get up. If I, what is it, Donnie? Back up and regroup, man, if I mess up, man. I gotta bear much fruit. I'm only here for a little while. I want to be about the Lord's business. I want to let the Lord mature me. Amen? And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Who's he talking about there? I worked harder than any of them. He's talking about the other apostles. He said, I had a lot to overcome, man. You know what I mean? And because I did so much evilness, because there's all this stuff that could ruin me, I will not let it ruin me. I'm not going to let this awesome forgiveness, this new life that God has given me, I'm not going to let it be in vain. I'm going to be about his business till quitting time, till he calls me home. You know what I mean? And I worked harder than any of them. Okay, Paul said, I'm using every ounce of my breath, everything I can do to further the gospel that changed my life. Amen? Okay. I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I. What? Paul, what are you talking about now? Did you work hard or did you not, Mr. Paul? Who was working hard? Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. That's how we change the world. That's how we lead people to Christ. That's how we change our community. That's how we do the hard obedience, man. Yielding to the Holy Spirit, man, that empowers us, that gives us strength. You know what I'm saying? We can do an awful lot. We can do an awful lot of stuff that will have eternal, lasting, good results if we listen and yield to the Holy Spirit. Spend time in the Word of God. Be obedient to the Word of God. Even when you're like, I don't want to do that. That's painful. I don't want to do that. Well, if the Word of God is telling us to do something, we need to do it, and then we will be blessed. Even if it's in the short term, it's kind of hard. You know what I mean? Even if we have to suffer a little bit in the short term, we're talking about lasting eternal results, man, for being obedient to the Most High God. Amen? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. Remember those cats? Fiery furnace. Hey, you know what, King? Our God can save us. And if he chooses not to save us, that's okay. But we're not going to worship you. You know what I mean? That paid off, man. And you know, that could have worked out a lot of different ways, man. They could have been thrown in that fiery furnace and been burned alive. And what if that little part in Daniel just ended like that? And they burned to death. You know what I mean? Well, we could read a couple verses ahead where it says, you know what? Our God can deliver us. We expect him to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, it's all right. It's all right, because to be absent from this body is to be at the real party. Oh, man. I don't know. Well, we should just call it a day right there. I worked harder than any of them, though. It was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Look with me real fast at Philippians 3:14. We're all breathing right now. I know you're sleepy. I know some of you might be catnapping. But we're breathing. You know what I'm saying? We still have something to do, is what I'm trying to say. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul, just a tiny little verse of what he was all about, man. And the Apostle Paul uses some athletic terminology from time to time, which is hard for me to relate because I don't like athletics. Even though you see my strong physical physique, I don't work out. I was just blessed to be one of the strongest people you'll ever meet. Lord, forgive me for being stupid. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press on toward the goal. It's like an athletic thing, man. I'm in the race. I'm racing. I'm giving it everything I have, man. Why do you want to give it everything you have? Don't you want to be lazy? Don't you want to just chill and hang out until quitting time, until the good Lord calls you home? No, it's not about that. That's not what we're supposed to do. Paul said, man, so much has been done for me. Paul has a really nice understanding of God's grace and mercy, man. You know what I mean? Man, I was evil. And we can see our past life like that. You know, that was bad news, man. That was completely contrary to what the good Lord wanted me to do. But he still loved me and saved my soul? Ooh, dog. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. I press on to bear that fruit, man. To be what God's called me to be that witness. Even when I mess up, man, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to regroup, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to brush myself off, and there I go again. You know what? I did it. I'm forgiven. That was the other guy. Now I'm about the Lord's business again. Amen? I press on toward the goal for the prize. I want to bear that fruit. I want to be a blessing of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want to be more and more like Jesus. This is what Paul's saying. I press on, man, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, even when the other apostles would go into a town to preach, maybe they would go check themselves into their motel room or see who they were going to stay with or whatever. Someone else said this, but it's kind of cool. You know, the Apostle Paul would, like, go check out the prison, maybe, or the jail, because that's where he was going to probably spend the night. You know what I'm saying? I didn't make that up, but someone else told me that. But, you know, think about it, man. This was a hard thing for him, man. People were trying to stone him to death. And I'm not talking about smoking a couple of doobies, man. I'm talking about people were throwing rocks at him, trying to smash his skull in. I'm serious. And would you not want to say, you know what? I'm going to take a few weeks off, man. This whole preaching thing, I'm going back to tent building. I don't know, you know. I got Jesus in my heart. I know where I'm going when I die. I tried. People keep trying to kill me, man. It ain't working out for me. I can't be like Peter and doing the thing where he's only in prison every once in a while, getting beat up every once in a while. This is tough. This is tough on me, man. They thought I was dead last week. He wasn't like that. He was pressing on. I'm going to keep going, man. I'm not going to give up. And that's us. Can I get a witness? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we got to be, right? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Let's go to the last slide. Thank you, Lord. A little insight on how we can do that, how we can be fired up. John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine. Jesus is the vine. This is a good little verse if y'all want to memorize one this week. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit. Do we want to bear much fruit, or do we just want to hang out, man? Do we want to have a godly witness, a godly testimony? We want to be that blessing, be that encouragement to the saints, be a light to a lost and dying world. We got to abide. We got to do life with Jesus, man. We have to have a daily situation. We're not just saved. You know what I mean? It's not, we didn't just get married, but we want to stay in love. You know what I'm saying? So here we are with Jesus and what he's done with us. Listen, we're not just saved, but we want to have a committed, loving relationship forever and ever and ever. And that goes with spending time with him. You know what I mean? Dwelling with him, doing life with him, abiding with him. And guess what? That's going to help you do the right thing. Because when you stop, and when I stop, we're going to start doing stupid stuff and selfish stuff. You know what I mean? Notice when you're thinking about doing something you shouldn't do, you're like, I don't really want to read the Bible. I'll read the Bible, but I'll just read this happy little part right here. You know what I mean? We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay around Christian brothers and sisters, folks that are going to encourage us and help us, right? We have to spend time in prayer. We got to hang out with the Most High God. Aren't we blessed because we can talk to the Creator of the universe? I can't even talk to the Mediacom folks, man. You know, but I can talk to the Creator of the universe. And Rachel knows I don't talk to the Mediacom people. She does all that stuff. I have her do all that sort of stuff. Yeah. No, she's good at that. But, I mean, we can talk to the Most High God, the Creator of the universe. Nobody can do that but Christians. We have direct access to the Creator of the universe through what Jesus Christ did for us. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, man, we're blessed. We're blessed. Amen. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. That's us. We want to bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, that's not true. Apart from the Lord, you can't do anything. My neighbor don't go to church, and he don't love Jesus, and you know his garden's doing just fine, and you know, and it's not talking about that. And I'm not saying going to church makes you saved. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you grace the inside of a church building ever, that doesn't mean you are or not going to heaven. If you love Jesus Christ, have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm talking about there's no lasting fruit for the Most High God. You hear what I'm saying? There's no eternal goodness. I'm really struggling for words right here. Let me read my little note. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of eternal value. Nothing of eternal value. That's what it is. Apart from the Lord, you want to cut him off? You want to not be part of his family? Nothing you do will have eternal value, eternal lasting value. Like the woman that anointed Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? People still talk about that to this day because what she did had eternal lasting value. Amen? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Last verse. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Now, what we started at today, we started in 1 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul shoots off a letter to his protege, Tim, okay? Now, in 2 Timothy, this is actually towards the end of his letter in 2 Timothy. So this is right towards the end of Paul's life, and he's really about to lay down his life for being a servant of the Lord, for loving Jesus. And he shoots off a final letter to his much-loved spiritual son, Timothy, who has now changed his name to 2 Timothy. No, he didn't change his name to 2 Timothy. That's the second letter that we have that he shoots off to Tim right before the Apostle Paul has to lay down his life. Okay, y'all with me? This is awesome. Okay? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. This is what he's saying to Tim. Tim, don't cry for me, buddy. Okay? Looky here, I have fought the good fight. Don't you want someone to be able to really honestly say that about us? You know what I mean? Because you know what? I know I keep kind of harping on this, but Bobby Jean Joyner is such an awesome lady. In her time here at Victory Life Church, I thank God that she was able to spend some years with us here at Victory Life because she was such an encouraging person, man. And she, I can honestly say, man, and I've done a lot of funerals, not that I'm doing a funeral now. I'm just saying that I've done a lot of funerals, and sometimes you have to really dig deep, man, to talk nice about you people. You know what I mean? Not Bobby Jean, man. Right off the top, man. She was, man, she was a God-fearing woman, and what she has done some things that will go on forever and ever and ever. You know, on Wednesday night, she would bring her whole vehicle full of kids, and they'd run around and be jumping on stuff and going all wild. But that's not the point. She was bringing these kids up here, man, to learn about Jesus. Those kids, no matter how old they get, they'll never forget about that nice lady that took them up to church. They'll never forget about that. You know what I mean? I'm saying that woman was about the Lord's business. And she was so positive. I'm saying Bobby Jean Joyner fought the good fight. And we, man, thank you, Lord, that someone will be able to say that about me. You know, he fought the good fight. No, he wasn't perfect. He was weird and he did stupid stuff, but he fought the good fight. He fought the good fight. He was peculiar. He was peculiar, but he fought the good fight. Remember that time? No. Okay. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. All I'm trying to talk about is don't let our past mess us up. Okay, we all had crummy beginnings. We all started kind of rough, and maybe got a little rough there in the middle. You know, but we can be like Paul and press on to take that prize, to be what God's called us to be. And let's finish strong, man. You know what I mean? That's all we have. We don't have yesterday. That's done been spent. We got right now, and we got our future, whatever that is, ahead of us. And let's use it for the glory of God. Amen? So people can look back and say, he fought the good fight. He finished the race. Did he live in Milton? Did he live in Pace? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul's saying to Tim, you know, hey, buddy, I'm not going to be here much longer. I hope I get to see you, but if I don't get to see you, just know this, I fought the good fight. I finished what God had for me. I did everything that God had for me to do. You know, I wasn't a perfect man, but I did everything. You know, I did everything God had for me to do here on this side of glory, and I kept the faith. I didn't give up. I didn't give up. No matter how hard it got, when other people would have quit, I didn't give up. And he's encouraging his protege, don't give up, man. Life gets pretty tough. Sometimes we do stupid stuff. We have to deal with our stupid consequences. Sometimes life is just rotten and hard, man. But don't give up. It's going to get real good. Thank you, Lord, for blessing these folks, Lord. Thank you that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we know that you're going to fill us up, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that everything is not of you, Lord, that you're going to work that out of us, Lord, that we want to be about your business, that we want to be a mature church about your business, and we love you and praise you, Lord. Let our lives be a wonderful witness and testimony to you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.